Amen. A soul winner for Jesus. If all the saints would feel like that. What a glorious, glorious time we could have. And within saying that in that song, the question for the sermon topic this morning, what good is a change? What good is a change? I believe that there are a lot of people that would like to make a change in their lives. Some make changes for better, and some make changes for worse. On this morning, we had Sister Luella come back to the fold, who made a change for the better. And as she has made that change, we will continue to pray for her, continue to give her the encouraging words or that encouragement that she needs, and hopefully the change will be everlasting. There are some that have strayed out into the world and have not returned. They have made a change for the worse. And we continue to think about them. We continue to pray for them. And hopefully they will make the right choice, the right change, and come back to the fold before it is too late. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, Proverbs chapter 23, we find these words. Proverbs 23:23. Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. You know, there are many times where we go out and we buy things and we come to the conclusion that we don't really need them, and we sell them. We sell them, sometimes we take a loss, and sometimes we make a profit. But let me say this about that. Buying the truth is something that you need to hold on to. You need to do your very best to try to gain some interest on it. The truth that we're talking about here is the truth concerning the Word of God. An individual hearing what God's Word says and doing those things because they know that they can benefit from them. Sometimes we go out and look for employment. We look for the best job that is out there that has the best plan or the best medical, the retirement plan, trying to get all the benefits you can. Sometimes we may land that job, and sometimes we find out that that job is really not worth having. But the retirement plan that we find here in God's Word is a retirement plan, as you have heard before, and you're here again, is out of this world. A retirement plan that you cannot do better by having. And the only way that you can get that is not going out and buying stock, but buying the truth, listening to the truth. And you're not just sitting back and allowing it to gain interest. You're actually doing something. You're out there proclaiming the Word of God so that some individual somewhere may hear the truth and they too may say, I want a part of that. You know that pyramid plan? You know that scheme? You buy here, and then, you know, you try to sell to someone else, and while they're buying, you continue to build up yours. See, that's not what this is about here. We're trying to build up one another. We're in this together. You know, if you get to heaven and I get to heaven, you know what? We're going to get there at the same time. You're not going to be any more special around the throne than I am going to be around the throne. But we have to do what is right before God in order to get there. When one learns the truth, change is necessary. Change is necessary. You know, you can't hear the truth and be living a sinful life and decide that I'm not going to do anything. I like what you're saying, but I like my life as well. No, a change is necessary when you hear the truth. Change from a sinner to a saint. That's what it's all about. And we have individuals that have made up in their minds that the way that they have been living is wrong. And they need to make a change. I was talking with Sister Owens the other day, and Sister Owens, again, when she came, she obeyed the gospel right away. She had been listening to the truth for a couple of years, and she obeyed the gospel, and then this pandemic happened, coronavirus came into effect, and people started learning about what is going to cause this person to have or that person to have, and still don't know the whole truth about the situation. And she's not worshiping with us right now because her family want her to stay safe. And that's okay. We want her to be safe. We want her to be healthy. We want her, when the time is right, to come back and join with us. But what she is doing while she's at home, she's continuing to study the Word of God. She had been in a denominational group for 40-something years. And the conversation that we had in reference to her coming to Christ was, I want to do what's right. I want to do what the Bible says. And she did that. She came and she confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and she had her sins washed away in the watery grave of baptism. And what she's doing now with studying the Word of God at home, she's talking to her family members. She's talking to them about being obedient unto the truth. Now, let me tell you how hard that is. It's this hard right here. She had been in a denominational group for 40-something years. And you know the impact that you can have on a person's life, and I don't know how old her children are, but the impact that you can have on their lives when you have been living this way for 40-something-odd years and that's the way you brought them up. It's sort of hard for that individual to look back and say, Mama, you mean to tell me we have lived this way, we have worshiped this way for 40-something years, now you're telling me that that was the wrong way? Yes, the wrong way. Because what the denominational groups teach is not the whole truth. They teach part of the truth. Now, you can go home and you can tune in on any radio station you want to, the religious station. You can look at any broadcast on television, and you can look at those things. You can listen to those things that they're saying, and they have somewhat of the truth in those things, just enough to get you in, but it's not getting you into the body of Christ. It's getting you to be a part of their group. And what we have to realize that when we hear the truth, we need to be ready to make a change. And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at some people that made a change for the better. The very ones that denied that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, the very ones that crucified him in Acts chapter 2. We read about this. And we understand that these individuals that heard the truth and did the things that was right, that they became part of the family of God. They became part of the family of God. And we have to look at these things, and we have to understand these things, and we have to know that these things to be true. This Jesus, Peter and the other apostles declared unto them, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. That's the truth. You can't get around it. They crucified him and they could not deny it. So what they asked there in Acts chapter 2 and the verse is 36 or 37. Men and brethren, what shall we do? You've given us the truth. Now, what shall we do? We're ready to buy into it, but what do we need to put forth? What do we need to put up? You know what Peter told them? Peter told them to repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin or for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, to your children, to those that are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. He says in verse 40, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You know, if you have the money and you're in a bad way, and someone say, here, if you give me X amount of dollars, you can move from these people. You can live a better life. What are you going to do? Or are you going to say, no, I like this life I'm living. No, I like to have my house broken into all the time. I like to have my car broken into, or someone get in my car and drive off in it. I like that. No, that's not what you're going to do. Not if you have the funds. You're going to pay in order to get away from that place. So Peter told them to save yourselves from this untoward generation. Bible says in verse 41, those that received this word were baptized. About 3,000 souls. That's on the day of Pentecost. About 3,000 souls changed on that day because they heard the truth. Verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, or those that were being saved. You know what's happening today? Those that are far off and those that are being called are continuing to be added to the Lord's church because they are willing to buy into the truth. Are you willing? Are you willing to buy into the truth? We find in the book of Acts, chapter 8, in the verses 12. Acts chapter 8, in the verses 12, when Philip went there. Remember now, at the beginning of Acts chapter 8, and let's just read that so we'll know what's going on. As I was mentioning Sister Owens, and I just wanted to use her because of her obedience unto the gospel and her willingness to continue to study and share the word of God with others. Here we find in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, after the death of Stephen, it says, Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Look at this next verse. Because we have to know what we need to do with the truth. When someone come up against us, opposition comes up against us, we need to know what we need to do with the truth. It says, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. He proclaimed to them the Christ, this very Jesus that was crucified. Here Philip is down in Samaria proclaiming him to those people. How many people have you proclaimed Jesus to lately? How many? You know, a lot of times the elders are not going to be by our sides as we go out into a lost and dying world. And if they're not by our side, what are we doing? Are we afraid to teach people? Here we find these men and women without the apostles going out and teaching what they had learned. The Bible says from that teaching, there in verse 12 of Acts chapter 8, as Philip was preaching to them the good news, but when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Both men and women. They were baptized. See, that's what the truth does. If you believe that, you want to buy into it, you'll do what you're supposed to do. And that's what these men and women did here in Samaria. They were baptized. And then we find an individual by the name of Simon. Simon the sorcerer. One that practiced witchcraft. He was willing to change as well because he was listening to the truth. The same message that everyone else was hearing, he was hearing that message as well. And it says in verse 13, even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. he was amazed. He continued with Philip, though, listening to the words in which Philip was proclaiming unto the people, taking all of these things in, and most definitely, I'm sure, willing to share with others. And that's what we need to understand when we start looking at the truth, when we start looking at what God's word says. We need to do the things that are right. So how many people have you talked to lately that said they believe what you're saying, but yet they did not make a change? Do they really believe? Do they really believe? I remember a young man I was talking to, looking at him and looking at the truth. And the truth was laid out, opening up God's word, looked at. And I was looking at him, and this light came on. He just, a smile came over his face, and happiness in his voice, joy. And he said, wow, basically. I never knew that. I believe that. But you know what kind of change he made? Zero. Zero. Excited at that moment. But something really didn't sink in. The truth really didn't hit where it needed to hit. He really wasn't pricked in his heart in order to make that change. But we don't find that in these individuals here. We find that they was willing to make a change. And then we find the Ethiopian eunuch sitting in his chariot there in Acts chapter 8, reading from the prophet Isaiah, not understanding what he was reading. The Ethiopian read and was helped with the understanding, changed. See, there's a lot of people out there that need some help in order to change. That they need to look at God's word, and they need to examine God's word, and they need to say to themselves, if they don't understand, I need to find somebody to help me. You know, there's a lot of people that are not willing to do that, that are not willing to admit that they don't understand something as simple as the gospel. So they need some help, but they don't want that help. They don't want to ask for that help. And we can't force ourselves on them. But here Philip was led to the chariot of the eunuch. He preached, the Bible says. He preached unto him Jesus. Isn't that good? To have Jesus preached unto you? Now, who took the time to preach Jesus unto you? Who took the time to sit down with you and help you to better understand the Lord's way? Or how to get in the way? Who helped you do that? You should call that person and you should thank that person for helping you to understand the truth. Maybe they're not here. Maybe they're passed on. You should thank God for allowing that person to come into your life in order to help you to understand the gospel and do the things that was right in order to do as the eunuch did. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8 and the verses 38, and he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. Who baptized who? The eunuch was the one that was outside of Christ. So obviously it had to be Philip baptizing the eunuch. And after he was baptized, the Bible says, as we read, in verse 39, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. He didn't go on his way rejoicing because he didn't see Philip anymore. He went on his way rejoicing because he had become part of the church, the greatest institution that has ever been organized or established. Some would say it's the family. No, it's not. It's the church. Jesus came to give his life for the church, for lost people, for people to be obedient unto the gospel. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, that she shall give birth to a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Luke 19:10, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He established the church, the one church that you read about in Scripture. So we find these four instances here. On the day of Pentecost, about 3,000 changed. And in Samaria, those people there changed because they heard the gospel message. Simon changed because he believed the gospel message and he was willing to make that change, and he made that change. The Ethiopian eunuch, who did not understand, was told the gospel, understood, made the change that was necessary in order for him to become a saint. From sinner to saint. And that's what we're out there in the world trying to do. We're out there trying to get people to change from living a life of sin to living the life of a child of God. And we need to continue to do that. We need to continue to do it. How does this change occur? How does this change occur? Because a lot of people don't know. You know, I've been in this situation so long, I don't know how to get out of it. You know, that's what people say about sin. I'm such a bad sinner. Can God, will God really save me? I was born this way. I'm going to die this way. We're not talking about born a sinner. And what they're talking about is I was born into the denominational group and I'm going to die part of this denominational group. No, you were not born into that group. You had to become a member of that group. There's an individual that said, you know, I was baptized at a young age, and I didn't understand why I was baptized. And later on, I was baptized again. Well, I'm here to say he still don't understand, because he became part of a group that is not in Scripture. He became part of what they would call a church that Jesus did not build. So teaching need to take place. Understanding need to take place. Obedience is a must in order to be pleasing unto God. So how does this change occur? In the book of Matthew chapter 21. In the book of Matthew chapter 21. I know a lot of people this morning are worshiping God, and they're happy with their worship. But I want you to know that everybody that's worshiping God today, that worship is not acceptable unto God. There may be some of us here that are worshiping God right now. Our worship may not be acceptable unto God. And if we find that to be true, we need to make a change. But we find here the heart needs to change. You know, again, we look at these different verses. You know, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know what? How that faith comes about? By changing the heart. By saying, I believe what is being taught, and I want to be obedient unto it. A lot of times we say, I'm not going to make that change. I'm not going to do it. I remember having a conversation with my uncle on his porch, and I've told you this story before. Some of you have heard it, some of you haven't. Some of you heard it and forgot it. But I'm going to tell it to you again. I was sitting there on the porch with my uncle, and he knew what type of life I was living, and we were sitting there, and we was talking about Bible. We was talking about the one church. And you know what he said? He said, you know, I fooled that preacher. I told him I was going to come down there and I was going to be obedient. I was going to do the things that's right. And he started laughing. He started laughing. I fooled him. You know who the joke is on right now? On that individual, my uncle, who never obeyed the gospel. If you don't have your sins washed away in the water of grave baptism, according to what the scripture says, and that's the only way that you can do it, you are an unbeliever. And the Bible teaches in the book of Revelation chapter 21, all unbelievers will have their part in the lake which burns with fire. Do you believe that? If so, quit playing with God. Because he is not on your level. He is not your friend as far as somebody to play with. Be real. Get serious with what the gospel says. Here in Matthew chapter 21, I'm going to show you how the heart works with people. A lot of times we may say something, and really, as we say those things, we mean what we say, but yet when it really boils down to it, are we willing to do what is right? In the book of Matthew chapter 21, verse 28, what do you think? a man had two sons. And he went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he changed his mind and went. Now, you would say, without knowing that he changed his mind, how can you tell your father that you're not going to do something that's right? How can you do that? Well, that's what this individual did. He said, I will not. Just as many of us have said in times past, there's no way I'm ever going to change my ways. I'm going to always do these things. But you changed. That's what this son did. I will not go. But yet changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, I will go, sir. Oh, how sweet, how obedient. Father don't have anything to worry about. He knows that those grapes are going to be, they're going to be harvested and they're going to be able to make their wine. They're going to be able to prosper. Obedient son. But did not go. Lip service. It does no good. The heart need to change. The heart need to be in the right place. You need to do the right thing. And it says, which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. Wow. And you think that you're living a good life? You need to look at your life again. And you need to make sure that you're doing all that God wants you to do. You need to believe the word and you need to be obedient unto the word. In the book of Romans chapter 10 and the verse is 10. Romans chapter 10 and the verse is 10. For with the heart one believes and is justified. But with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So don't believe everything you hear. There has to be some action. You know, I'm going to ask this question from right here. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you would be willing to give me $1,000? Well, y'all are so understanding. Y'all are following instructions so well. Nobody raised their hand. You know, sometimes you can ask a question like that and you say, I don't want anyone to respond. And people are quick to raise their hand to respond, but not for $1,000. Because if you were to raise your hand after I finished preaching and the invitation hymn had been given and the closing prayer rendered, I was coming to you. But nobody raised their hand. And that's a good thing. Because I don't expect you to give me $1,000. God does not expect you to do something that's going to set you back. He expects you to do the things that's going to allow you to move forward. And that's what we need to understand. So when we start talking about believing with the heart, that's exactly what we need to do. We need to believe with the heart and we need to make that confession with our mouth. Action needs to be seen. Obedience is required. Obedience is required. In the book of Romans chapter 6 and the verse is 1, 2, and 3. Romans chapter 6 verse 1, 2, and 3. Obedience is required in order to make this change, this transformation from a sinner to a saint. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Do you know that? You know, I should not have to keep pointing this out, but I do. This baptism that he's talking about right here is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is water baptism. An individual going into the watery grave, coming out of that watery grave to walk a newness of life. Jesus did not stay in that tomb. Jesus came out of that tomb. Look what the Bible says. We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We too. Has there been a change in your life? in your lifestyle, a change in your walk, a change in your talk, a change in your dress? Has there been a change? If there has not been a change, you need to consider making a change. In Galatians chapter 3 and the verse is 27. Galatians chapter 3 and the verse is 27. These words are penned by Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. Galatians 3, 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, when it talks about baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's what it says, does it not? Baptized by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fell upon them. Here it's talking about being baptized into Christ. Into Christ. Doing what's right before God. So how does this change occur? With having a change of heart. With being obedient unto baptism. And of course, we have to realize after that, we have to live a faithful life. A faithful life. Faithful service unto God. Faithful service unto one another. But we have some people that have changed for the worse. Some people that cared about the gospel at one time, but yet lost interest in it. And we have that today. We have people losing interest in the gospel, losing interest in their soul salvation. And hopefully, you know, if that happened, God give them time to come back to the fold. But there have been some that have gone out into the world and has never been able to return. Isn't that a shame? Demas went back out into the world. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verses 10. What we're looking at here and what we're examining here is that teaching of once saved, always saved is not true. You can't find it in Scripture. Once saved, always saved. Now what you can find is some individuals that were faithful until the death. But not once saved, always saved. They had a choice, and they made the right choice. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and the verse is 10. We'll look at verse 9 and 10. Do your best to come to me soon. Paul here, do your best to come to me soon. Talking to some of his other disciples, some that followed him, but yet he was following Christ. He says, but Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. You know what that desertion entailed? Him leaving Christ. Because of the love of this present world. The things that are out there. What's out there that has your attention? What's out there that's more interesting or has more to offer than God's Word? Absolutely nothing. Those things out there that you're loving, those are the very things that's going to cause you to be cast into the bottomless pit that was created for Satan and his angels. Not you and I. Some allow worldly things to entangle them, getting caught up in things that you should not get caught up in. And we have to be careful with that. Because there's a lot of things that may catch our eye. And we have to say, we have to be strong. We have to stand for what is right. We have to say, no, I'm not going down that road. Because it's the wrong way. It's the wrong way. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2 and the verses 20. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The last state has become worse for them than the first. Now look at that very carefully. Have you ever had an animal, a pet, and you have had some wiring, you know, or some wires laying around, and that dog, that cat, whatever it is, get caught up in that, and you go over and you untangle them? And they're so happy. They, you know, the little dogs start wagging their tails and the little cats start, you know, going in between your legs, you know, rubbing up against you and all that because they're so glad that you've done what you're supposed to in order to save them. Now, I want you to think about that just for a moment. Because a lot of us have been entangled with things out there in the world. And somebody came and untangled us, shared with us the gospel, and we bought into it. But you know what we did? We sold it. And we went right back out there and we got entangled with those very things that we got untangled from. We got caught up. And I believe that when you get caught up, the scriptures are true. It says this in verse 21, "For it had been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them." What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. Have you ever experienced that or seen that? The dog turning to his own vomit and licking it up. Y'all see, ooh, that's nasty. That's what dogs do. You ever seen that sow all clean, all nice? You know, you're going to the state fair and you see those things. They're just all clean. You're not going to see it this year. But all clean. If that guy, that girl, that farmer, whoever, take that sow and put it out there and there's some mud, you know what it's going to do? It's going to go jump right in it. That's what sows do. That's what they do. But you and I, we don't have to go out there and sin. It is a choice. And when you make the wrong choice, you pay for it. You pay for them. It says this is a true proverb. A true proverb. And that's what we need to look at, and that's what we need to consider when we start talking about God's word. Some get caught up in sinful ways. And when that happens, we have a responsibility. But again, some change for the worse. You're caught up, the Bible says here in Galatians chapter 6. The individual is caught up in a fault. But you know, he gives us some instruction for that individual that's caught up. "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." Now, it's hard-fetched for me to find a person that has been, you know, a drug addict, and somebody else that has never been one, but yet he goes out there and he tries these drugs, and now he is a drug addict. It would be hard-fetched for me to say, "Hey, man, I understand where you come from. I understand the road that you've been going down. I understand the difficulties it is for you to continue to walk in the way of righteousness. But will you go over there and get him?" No. You don't want to do that. And the individual that you go and you talk to and you ask him or her to do that, they should say, "No, I have a problem with that. I'm trying my best to stay away from those things. You go." And you know what we should be willing to do? First off, we shouldn't have never went to them. We should have went to that individual and talked to them and tried to get them to come away from that life in which they were again caught up in. Or maybe not again, but that life that they was caught up in. Let us do what's right. Let us look at God's word and let us understand that his word is true. And there needs to be a change in the life of people. There needs to be a change in the life of people because this is what God desires. A change is necessary when you're living wrong. A change is necessary when you know that you're outside the body of Christ. A change is necessary when you know that your soul is in stake, but yet you're not doing what's right. A change is necessary. Make that change before it is too late. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God and you want to become one, do not hesitate to come down the aisle and make the confession before the people that are here that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. to be immersed in the water of greater baptism, rising to walk a newness of life. Make that change. For the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, the like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us. Not to put away the filth of the flesh, but to answer a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then maybe you made that change for what is right, but yet you strayed away. Remember Simon the sorcerer, who also believed and was baptized. Continue with Philip. But when he saw that the laying on of hands, the Bible says in verse 17, they laid their hands in Acts chapter 8, then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. A new convert now, not fully understanding about the Holy Spirit, that this is none of his business. This is what Peter tells him. May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain a gift of God with money. You neither have part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right with God. Repent, therefore. He didn't tell him that he needed to have his sins washed away. He told him to repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And Simon answered, pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me. So maybe you are a child of God and you have done something that is wrong. No matter if you are a new convert or no matter whether or not you've been in the Lord's church for 50, 60, 70 years, you need to repent if you're doing wrong. Get your life right with God before it is too late. If you're here in your subject, if you're an alien sinner, come to Christ. If you're an erring sinner, come back to Him. If you're here in your subject, please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.